Good morning and welcome to the final legislative session, FLC call-in. Thank you for joining us for, again, the last Monday morning call-in of the 2022 legislative session. Hopefully you're not new at this point, recognizing it's the last week of session, but if you are, we start the call with each of the lobbyists going around the horn discussing the key bills they're watching this week and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question at that point in the call, you will press *9 on your phone, and you will start with your name and your city. A reminder that this call is being recorded, and an email will go out today with a summary of the call, as well as a link to the call's recording. We're going to jump right in, and I'm going to turn it over to Amber Hughes.
Thank you, Casey. Good morning, everyone. Amber Hughes here. Just to give you a budget update, both chambers continued to have budget conference meetings throughout the weekend. They were a little bit delayed because of the fires over in the Panhandle. But as of today, they are still meeting. They have until tomorrow to get the conference report on the desk for the 72-hour waiting period in order to pass the budget on time on Friday. Just one issue to talk about. House Bill 7071, this is the House tax package, which has passed the House and is sitting over in the Senate. It includes a whole host of sales tax holidays and additional tax exemptions, a couple of things on the property tax side. It does include abatement of property taxes for catastrophic events in the future. We do have concerns with this provision, obviously not knowing what a potential impact could be with a really large storm or fire, and without having any backstop or any way for the state to fund it if it is a very catastrophic loss. And so with that, I will right now that bill has not been amended in the Senate. I do anticipate the Senate to put their version of the tax package on that bill, pass it out, and send it back to the House. With that, I will pass it over to David Cruz.
Thank you, Amber. Good morning, everybody. Wanted to just give a brief update on the sovereign immunity issue. Last week, the House Judiciary Committee met and passed House Bill 985. The bill was substantially amended in committee. It took the underlying bill that was at $1 million per person unlimited per incident liability, and it lowered it to $400,000 per person, $600,000 per incident. That bill passed the House Judiciary Committee, and it's now available to be heard on the House floor. That was its last committee of reference. Currently, it has not been placed on a special order on the House floor, and I think primarily that is because the Senate bill, on the other hand, is in a committee. It's in the Senate Appropriations Committee, and it's waiting to be heard in that committee. However, that committee is no longer scheduled to meet this session. So, that is a good place to be in. The Senate bill would need to pass the Senate Appropriations Committee in order to make it to the Senate floor. Since that committee is not scheduled to meet, the only way it could possibly make it to the Senate floor now would be for a reference to be removed. Hopefully that does not happen, but we will keep you updated. With that, I'll turn it over to Jeff Branch.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Today I'm following House Bill 769, which will be up on special order in the Senate. This has to do with the condo/building safety. The bill as it stands will require a certain number of inspections depending on if you're within 3 miles of a coastline or outside of it, and specify when you must do your recertification. As it relates to local government, the association must submit a sealed copy of the building inspection report after each of the milestone inspections or the recertification, and the responsibility on the local government is to prescribe the time frames when if there's any deficiencies from the building report, when those must commence. Other than that, it puts all of the onus on the association as it relates to reserves, disclosures, and things of that sort. With that, I will hand it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. Two bills that I want to bring to your attention, actually three. So So let me start with one that is in the Senate on third reading. This bill deals with campaign financing, and it's House Bill 921. It's been moving through session without any controversy. It didn't directly affect cities or counties, but an amendment was filed last week by Senator Rodriguez that would have added a provision to prohibit local governments from issuing any communications, even factual information, related to an issue before the electors. So what that means in plain English is it would prohibit a local government from using public funds to communicate on an issue before the electors, something that has already made ballot status. So it could apply to a proposed constitutional amendment or a proposed charter amendment or any other local referenda issue. The League was able to get a series of amendments added to the bill because that bill, the amendment was very, very broad, would have pretty much prohibited local governments from doing anything as it relates to something that is on the ballot. But now with the bill, with the amendment that was added to the bill at our request, the bill would now prohibit local governments from using public funds on any communication that is sent to electors on a communication that was initiated by the local government, even if it's limited to factual information. However, the provision doesn't apply to local governments reporting on official action that they have taken. It doesn't prevent a local government from posting factual information on its website or in printed materials. It does not prohibit posting and providing information at a public forum. It does not prohibit providing factual information in response to an inquiry. And it does not prohibit providing information as otherwise authorized or required by law. We anticipate that that bill will pass the Senate on third reading with that amendment on it. It will then be sent over to the House, and the House will have to decide whether they want to accept that amendment. So that is House Bill 921, the amendment number. If you want to look at it, if you have questions about it, the amendment number is barcode 721266. And if you do have detailed questions about it, I would encourage you to show the amendment to your city attorney and get his or her opinion on it. It's pretty nuanced, and so I think it's going to require an interpretation by your city attorney as to the practical effect of it. On a lighter note, in the House, the tree protection bill, which is a League priority, is on the House special order calendar for today, which starts at 10:30. This is Senate Bill 518. It looks like the House is going to take the Senate bill version of this, which is, it's fine. Both bills were identical. And I believe that that tree protection bill will pass the House probably tomorrow. It could pass today, but it's more likely it would pass tomorrow. So that's some good news. Also on the good news front, the PFAS bill passed the legislature last week. It's on its way to the governor, also a League priority. The bill, we talked about it in the past, but a quick summary of it is that it would prohibit the Department of Environmental Protection from taking enforcement against local governments until it adopts rules setting standards for PFAS, and those rules are ratified by the legislature. And with that, I'm going to turn it to Tara Taggart.
Thank you, Rebecca, and good morning, everyone. Two issues to talk about this morning. The one dealing with cybersecurity, we've got an update for you all. There's two sets of bills that passed the House last week and will wait action by the Senate floor just sometime this week, we anticipate. So those bill numbers are Senate Bill 1670 and House Bill 7055. They're now identical. To give you some high points about what this comprehensive package is doing, it's requiring local governments to adopt cybersecurity standards consistent with NIST standards. It's requiring annual training for all local government employees. It also requires some high-level incident reporting, so think of a ransomware incident or another major cyber attack. It's also prohibiting ransomware payments. Accompanying those two bills are Senate Bill 1679 and House Bill 7057, which are the companion public records exemption. It's exempting quite a few components relating to cybersecurity, but the high points, it exempts critical infrastructure information, your insurance coverage limits, also has a public meetings exemption if your city wants to meet to discuss cybersecurity standards, as well as incident response. So those bills, as I said earlier, are now waiting action by the full Senate. We're also waiting to see how the budget component of this comes in for a landing. The House, when these bills were filed as committee bills earlier in session, the House had put in about $67 million that would specifically go to local governments to fund these initiatives. So we've been encouraging the Senate to follow suit, and we'll see how that turns out this week as they finalize the budget. That's all for cybersecurity, but I also want to give everyone a smoking update, or I guess the non-smoking update. So the House Bill 105 officially has passed both chambers and is now awaiting signatures by both the Senate President and the Speaker, so it can then head to the governor. Please stay tuned. We will communicate with you all more information as to how specifically your city can stay engaged and help us get this thing officially signed, sealed, delivered by the governor. So we'll communicate that this week as we know exactly how we can receive letters and make sure we get those to the governor's office in the easiest way possible. So please stay tuned. With that, I'll toss it back to Casey.
Cool. Thank you, Tara. So we'll now transition into the question and answer portion. Of the call. Before we do, though, and as a reminder, you're going to press *9 if you want to ask a question. But a couple quick announcements just to put on your radar before we get into Q&A. Our post-session webinar is March 23rd at 2 p.m. We will send a registration link out with the summary of today's call. I would encourage everyone to go ahead and sign up for that. It's where each of our lobbyists will go through what passed, what didn't this legislative session. On Friday, we will have updated legislative bill summaries on the website so that you will have quick access to the bills that passed and failed. And then finally, for us, the tier one or the major issues and on tap, we will not just go over stuff that moved or didn't move this week, but we will hit the big bills that passed and failed specifically that have been on our radar that we've been spending a majority of our time on. And so you will look for that in Friday's On Tap at the Cap. So now, first question, fire away.
Good morning, everyone. Happy eighth week of session. This is Sandy Golding from the city of Jacksonville Beach.
Hey, Mayor.
And I have a question for Tara Taggart. Can you give us an update on vacation rentals? Where do we stand with that?
Thank you, and good morning. Thanks for that question. So the good update is there is no update. So it was the House bill, which was House Bill 325, only had been heard in that one committee, still has two committee references left, and those committees are, you know, thus far, knock on wood, not meeting anymore. The House or the Senate companion also had one committee stop to go in Senate Appropriations and has not been heard yet. We do not have one of those meetings on the calendar. So all signs point to dead, but of course nothing is over until it's officially over on Friday when they drop the hanky. So if something does happen, we will certainly let everyone know, but we're sitting in a very good spot right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you, everyone, for all the hard work you've done this session.
Thank you. Next question.
This is Commissioner Tony Ortiz. What's the latest on net metering? I hope I didn't miss that particular one.
Net metering, Commissioner, is on the third reading for the Senate today. It's House Bill 741, and I expect that will probably pass, and it'll be on its way to the governor.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, what's I'm sorry, before you go, Is it totally matching the Senate bill?
They're on the House bill now, so they've already put the Senate bill on the table, and the House bill is the vehicle that is likely going to pass.
Oh, really?
So they are identical at this point. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Yep.
Just as a reminder for the folks on the phone, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll press *9, and when recognized, you will lead with your name and the city you're affiliated with.
Yeah, Fred Forbes, Bonita Springs. I'm curious on that, what they call it, the metering bill, or I call it the FPL Edison bill. Is it still as lopsided in favor of the utility companies as it was, or has it been improved in your opinion?
Well, I'd say it's been improved since the version that was filed originally, but I think people that have been following this closely, particularly the solar industry, still thinks that it is far too favorable to the investor-owned utilities.
Oh, okay. Now, before I get off phone, I have not bothered to do this on any of the other call-ins, but you all have done a wonderful, extraordinary job of keeping a lot of bad bills from being passed and getting amendments to a bunch of bills that were bad that are now at least neutrally acceptable and all that. So just wanted to give you a shout out of thank you.
Thank you, council member.
Thank you.
This is Richard Bryan from Daytona Beach Shores. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What's the status of the Form 6 requirement for local officials?
Good morning. So the Senate Bill 510, has passed the Senate and is sitting in House messages. The House bill, which is House Bill 301, has not been put on special order in the House yet. Obviously, since the Senate bill is sitting in messages, there is multiple opportunities for this bill to pass, but at this point, it's been kind of quiet.
So does that say anything about the likelihood of passing?
If I could had a magic ball, I'd probably do a different job if I could tell the future. We have 5 days and a lot of things that are being horse traded. The bill did pass pretty swimmingly through the committees with very little opposition. So there's that, but there's a lot of things that they are dealing with that are much higher priority for them than this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, this is Carol Carter, City of Anna Maria, Commissioner there.
Commissioner?
Just wondering if there's any update on the so-called business bills about ordinances that we might pass locally that would cause us to do a lot of background work if a business is affected.
Sure. Let me jump in on that one. I think that everything that Amber just said about financial disclosure also applies to both of the business bills. That's the business damages bill and the business impact estimate bills. Clearly, they were important to people in the Senate. They passed the Senate in week 3 and have been sitting in House messages for the last 5 weeks. They are not on the special order calendar as of right now in the House, but as with the financial disclosure bill, they are in messages, and so the House could take those bills up, by day 58. So those two bills specifically are ones that, if I had to guess, would be handled in the last 3 days of session if they are handled. I think that, as was referenced earlier, there's a lot of trading that goes on in this last week of session. You get this priority bill, I get this priority bill for me. I think that those two bills are going to be subject to negotiations and or trades on other big issues. And I wish I could tell you with certainty that they were going to pass or they were going to fail, but we can at this point, just based on it coming down to negotiations really between the Senate President and the Speaker of the House.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you for all you all have done during this session.
Thank you, Commissioner. Last call for questions. Going once, going twice. On behalf of President Philip Walker, who couldn't be here today, when I talked to him, wanted to say thank you to all of our members. You have been engaged. You have responded when we've sent alerts and updates out. It's been truly impressive to see the engagement from our membership. And so thank you all for being on these Monday morning call-ins, for responding to emails, for staying tuned in. If anything happens this week where we need our help from our membership, we will send out legislative alerts. So keep watching your inboxes, keep watching your text messages. We will talk to you soon. Thank you, everybody. Have a good week.